Is it sustainability project? Can we confirm the roll, please?
Good morning. Yes, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Kim. We have the minutes before us, February 22nd, 2012. Can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
We have a motion in a couple seconds. Any discussion? Any dissent? That motion passes without objection. And I guess we'll go into what I was reading here before I was rudely interrupted. Hi, Randy.
Forgive me, Commissioner Ive.
I'm in the same place you are.
All right, so this next item before you, so we're with the Transit Committee, the Select Committee on Transit Sustainability, and this this first item for you is kind of a long-term plan that we had in order to try to address a number of the issues that the Transit Sustainability Project has had to deal with. And one of the issues before us over the last number of years is to kind of watch the slow erosion of resources available to public transit in the Bay Area as a result of the declining economy, and also to kind of put a fine point on it, the fact that for most agencies, not all, there are some exceptions, but for most agencies, what we're in really is the sales tax business, because public transit is subsidized by sales taxes, either through the Transit Development Act, which is a quarter-cent sales tax, or full one-half-cent sales taxes that exist in a number of counties in the Bay Area, or in the case of some counties, self-help, which a significant portion of the money and an increasing amount. Looking at Alameda, for example, over time, the amount of money going to public transit operations from their sales tax has increased significantly over time. But the amount of sales tax dollars as a proportion of the Bay Area economy is actually reducing over many, many years. Most of this is a result that services aren't taxed, but goods are. I think a specific example can be seen in music. Many folks used to go out, at least I did, and buy a record and then a CD, which was a physical thing, and you paid sales tax for that. Now you do it in the form of a service. You download it, and you don't pay a sales tax on that. This notion exists throughout our economy, and it does hit transit particularly because the amount of subsidy available to operate the services is declining. So one idea we've long had is to try to deal with this, and the commission has had for many years the ability to place on the ballot a regional gas tax, but we've never polled it in detail. We polled it a little bit and discovered that we were never really convinced it was the right thing to do. But as a result of this plan, we decided to really go out and poll it. And so today, we are going to present for you, for EMC Research is going to present for you, Ruth and Sarah, in a minute here, the results of this poll. I think one thing I wanted to point out before you see it, and you'll see one of the slides that in a moment, there's an article today in the paper about how gas prices peaked and now they're on their way down. Well, we had the great fortune of pulling right into that headwind as they went up. So you'll see a slide on that. So that and a few other slides you'll see right now. So let me turn it over.
Thank you very much. I'm Ruth Bernstein with EMC Research. My colleague Sarah Labatt is here as well. And we're going to walk you through an overview, a summary of the poll that was recently conducted about the gas tax. So first on the methodology of the poll, it was a telephone survey of voters in the nine-county Bay Area, and we did 400 interviews in each county so that we could look at the results in the county for 3,600 total interviews. And the overall results that we're showing you whenever we show you the overall results, those are weighted to accurately represent the proportion of the counties within the overall. And this was conducted basically in February. So we started on January 30th, but took almost 4 weeks to complete the poll. And we did offered the survey in English, but also in Spanish, Cantonese, and Vietnamese, and targeted our calling to make sure that we were offering the languages that voters were likely to speak. So the first overall finding here is that support for a 10-cent gas tax measure is well short of two-thirds supermajority that we would need to pass a measure. That's where it is today. Even when we give a little bit more information about the potential measure, support doesn't increase a whole lot. And you can see in your packet the wording of the measure basically fairly straightforward to improve the efficiency and reliability of public transit, make repairs and safety to roads, make regional transportation improvements, a 10-cent per gallon gasoline tax for no longer than 20 years. 43% said that they would vote yes, 19% definitely, 22% probably, and 52% vote no, 5% undecided. So definitely far below that two-thirds needed for approval. Looking at the results in each county, San Francisco is the highest. 50% said in San Francisco said they would vote yes, but it's still, even in San Francisco, far short of a majority. Marin is next. Sonoma, Alameda, right around the mid-40s, and then the largest county, Santa Clara County, with 22% of the voters, 45% said they would vote yes, and Contra Costa, another large county, 35% said they would vote yes on the measure.
Do I get it?
excuse me, Scott Wiener from San Francisco. Is it possible to get the broad spectrum breakdown for each of the counties?
Yes.
So San Francisco is 50%. I imagine that means no could be 25% or 40%. I think it'd be helpful to have that full breakdown by county.
We will certainly send that out. What we call the top lines, which is, I guess, a summation of all of them, are at your place today. And we will certainly get all the commissioners the detail for each of their counties sent out.
Thank you.
Right. We can provide that. On San Francisco, the 42% voted no on this. But we can provide the whole cost output of each county. Then after we give more information, I'm going to show you also some of the information that was given, but we do read a list of potential projects of how the money might be spent, not really projects, but programs, how the money might be spent. Also some information, short information. After that information is presented, the yes vote goes to 47%, so there is an increase, but still far short of the increase that would be needed to get to two-thirds, and 49% no, and 3% undecided. So very little undecided, and a pretty definite, 30% are definite no. We do think that overwhelmingly the economy is a factor. We've been seeing this in all of the polling we've been doing on revenue measures. But we also think, obviously, gas prices and the are contributors to the opposition. We think, you know, this obviously could change in the future, but the poll is only, you know, a test of the environment at that moment, and definitely those are factors at this moment. Just some data on that. We asked about how concerned are you about some issues. The local economy, we have 77% say they're concerned, 36% extremely concerned, a 7 on a 1 to 7 scale, 41% rated as a 5 or a 6 on a scale. I don't think that's surprising to any of us, but it is overwhelmingly a concern. The cost of gasoline, 41% rate say they're extremely concerned, 31% somewhat concerned. And then we looked at, because gas prices were increasing during the month that we were interviewing, we broke down the interviews by the week that we conducted them. So on the left, you see the first week of interviewing and then the subsequent weeks. The average gas price at the beginning of our interviewing in California was $3.74. By the end, it was $4.04. And so we looked at each of these lines. So the percentage, the blue line, and the percentage that voted yes on the measure in our poll. The red line is the percentage that said they were concerned about the cost of gas. And then also in the poll, we said, do you think gas prices will increase over the next 2 years? So you can see how at the beginning of the poll, 44% said they would vote yes on the measure, 66% were concerned about the cost of gas, 75% thought the gas prices would increase over the next 2 years. And you can see all basically an increase, a direct increase in, are you concerned about the cost of gas? It actually increased by 12 points over the 4 weeks of interviewing, and thinking gas prices are going to increase also increased as well, and support for the measure went down. So still, we're far short of even at the beginning of the poll, we're far short of two-thirds, but we do think that gas prices influenced opinions about the measure. We did the one issue, the ballot question. Definitely, we would want to make sure that it reflects voter priorities, and, you know, give voters a reason to support a measure. You saw the ballot question that was tested is fairly bland, and we do think it could be improved. A lot of voters, when they walk in to vote, that's the only thing they read is the 75-word question. We think if we move forward, at some point, we'd want to spend a lot of time trying to figure out how do we make those 75 words the most compelling. For instance, you know, right now we don't have a lot of voters are actually not very concerned about the reliability of public transit, yet it's one of the top items that we mentioned in the ballot question. The condition of streets and roads, we still actually have under two-thirds that say they're concerned about the condition of streets and roads. 24% are extremely concerned, 41% somewhat concerned, but it doesn't come close to their concern about the economy and gas prices. Traffic, 61% are concerned, but I think, as you all know, that in the last few years with the economy, traffic is not coming up as much of a concern as it did years ago when the economy was booming. We had everyone saying they were concerned about traffic. And the reliability of public transit, again, almost half are concerned, but many are not. Then we also gave some, we read some information about components that might be included in the measure, asking how high a priority are these to you. The top one being coordination among local transit agencies to improve service and save money. 50% rate, that is a very high priority, 27% a somewhat high priority. So you can see overwhelmingly, and this was true across all of the counties, that finding ways to improve service but also finding ways to save money are very compelling. Filling potholes, even though a lot of people said that they're not concerned about the condition of streets, when we ask specifically about filling potholes, making other repairs, that's very popular. 52% rate that is a very high priority. Another 24% is somewhat high priority. And then generally making it easier for people to get around without their cars with faster and more reliable public transit that connects people to the places they want to go. 73% rate that as important to them. So, and requiring the money that would be raised, it would be spent in that county, and providing services for the seniors and the disabled, reducing traffic congestion. So you can see generally some of the types of things that voters do respond to and do find important. Again, as I mentioned, that requiring coordination among local transit agencies to improve service and save money, just by county, you can see it's pretty universally popular, that idea, the strongest being in San Francisco, but even in Solano County at the bottom, 73% rate that as something that's important. Definitely resonates the idea of reform. We did in the poll, after asking about the 10-cent measure, initially we followed that up with questions asking about lower tax amounts. So they first heard a 10-cent measure. We do have a much higher positive reaction when we ask about 2 cents or about 5 cents, but we have to remember that they heard 10 cents before. But we did say I would support a gas tax of 5 cents per gallon for transportation improvements. 51% said they agree. When we bump it down to what about a 2 cent per gallon, 66% agree. And these amounts were randomized, so they didn't hear them necessarily in the 5 cent to 2 cent. So we do see much higher. There does seem to be a difference between 10 cents, 5 cents, and 2 cents. 2 cents sounds like not a lot. That does get close to the two-thirds threshold, although we would be concerned because it was asked about the 10 cent, we would want to ask it on its own if we were really going to consider moving forward with a 2 cent measure. And then a couple of other, even though they said that they would support a 2 cent measure, when we asked a gas tax is a fair and reasonable way to raise money for transportation improvements, only 56% agree with that statement. So they fundamentally, you know, are concerned about using a gas tax to pay for things like this. And improving your transportation system should be a top priority, even if it means raising taxes. Only 53% agree with that statement today, definitely short of the two-thirds. We do think that, you know, there is a possibility of being able to do a gas tax someday. I think we'd want to know more about what their hesitancy, especially we know that voters in most counties have been willing to support a sales tax. So why is their support for a gas tax so much lower? We don't think we completely understand that, but it's good to see here in the poll. We actually combine anyone who voted yes sort of at any point in the poll, or they think that the gas tax is a good way. This was sort of the best case scenario. They think a gas tax is a good way to pay for transportation improvements, or they voted yes on any of the measures. We do get to 75% overall. So I'm not saying that if we put it on the ballot today, you'd get to 75%, but there is the the possibility where some voters are, there are 75% in the poll overall that say yes at some point. So they're at least open to it. What we don't really quite understand is what gets us to, you know, the mid-40s up to 75. What's their hesitancy and what do they want? What is the underlying concern here about a gas tax? So we think moving forward, you know, there are, you know, I think looking at reform, packaging specific regional forums, especially if there can be cost savings, we see that voters are definitely open to that. Improved transit service, if those could be explained and kind of, and actually what's challenging is how do you explain that in a 75-word question, but laying the groundwork for understanding that this isn't just a gas tax, but there are cost savings that go along with this, improved efficiencies, and that we get some improvements from it, we think is sort of the direction to go. Obviously, building coalitions with likely supporters so that this isn't just coming out of nowhere, but it's something that that people who know, they know and trust are supporters as well. You know, we would recommend if you were going to do something like this to try to get in a room and focus groups and actually understand what's the concern about a gas tax. You know, why are you willing to support a sales tax? What's the difference? What is your concern about something like this? And then, you know, obviously develop messaging trying to change voter opinion really around the concept of gas tax. We think maybe this is just too unfamiliar to voters in the area. This is just not how they're, you know, they're concerned about money and about doing this. You know, if a November 2012 measure is even in consideration, we would definitely say you'd want to do look at a 2 cent. We'd want to do a quick poll to find out whether or not when we ask about a 2 cent, when they haven't heard a 10 cent, whether or not the support is any higher. But we do think there's, you know, enough concern about the economy that it's likely that it wouldn't get high support. But who knows? You know, it's hard to tell. So that's our overview, and we're certainly available to answer questions.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Green.
A few things. One, I do think that the laying the groundwork point, that first bullet up there about regional reforms, is something that I know we're going to start take a look at it a little later today in this transit performance initiative kind of thing. But, you know, frankly, I think that throughout the nine counties, some kind of, and I'll just use the word merger, consolidation, whatever phrase you want to use, needs to take place on the transit agencies. That there needs to be a showing to the general public that actually we aren't just saying, oh, we're going to continue doing the same thing right now. We just need more money. We need to show some adjustment to reality in 2012. Now, we're not back in 1952. It's 2012. And I think that, you know, some consolidation of various agencies need to take place around the region. And I think that would be a good step in showing the voters then that we have implemented our own austerity program, and then we can go on saying, if we need more, here's what we need. I also think that, again, having gone through a lengthy process, as Scott was heavily involved with it also in our own county, if we're going to do this over nine counties, we do need to be having a much broader and deeper and longer group participation, I'll just call it that way, of various groups, not only around the nine counties that of the elected officials, but also of name your favorite advocacy groups, and we can all list five or six right here, and you multiply that, so we probably have 50 around the Bay Area, but that's what we're going to have to do, because to get to a two-thirds, it's an enormous amount of hand-holding and compromising that you have to be able to do. And I think voters are going to be wanting to see specifically, or at least as with as much specificity, what you're going to be doing with the money. So, and that takes an enormous amount of groundwork in terms of planning and coalition building and massaging and keeping your tempers under control and yet focusing on a finish line. So it's an enormous effort, but I think that's going to have to be just recognized. And if you want to start that way, you need to start doing that. The other thing, of course, on here is that we're all under this, which I absolutely deplore, this two-thirds crap that we have to deal with in this state. And, you know, we said here, we don't have enough to get to this. And yet, if you look at most of these polls in there, yeah, we actually, from a majority standpoint, we're over most of them already. So we need to be driving as a state to something besides a two-thirds minority rules concept and about everything we do in this state of California. So, I mean, to me, that's the bedrock problem right there. And then lastly, and I'm not one to concede easily, but it does seem that as if a 10-cent addition right now would be, and I'll just understate this, problematic. I'll just put it that way. For November of 2012, maybe even in San Francisco and Alameda County, it would be problematic. It's worth conducting a 2-cent measure. Maybe there could be some value to doing that, but I do think that, again, what's the legal requirement we have to go up? We have to go on a general election on even-numbered years. Is that what we have to do? Either a gubernatorial race in four, and it has to be in November. Is that what we have to do?
I should know this off the top of my head. Forgive me, but I'm going to say yes to that. We have to go. We can't do a special election.
Okay, so and we can't go into primaries. I mean, it has to be November. Is that what you think?
That's the thing I need to.
I was hoping Randy's memory would be better than mine, but I think in this case it's the reverse. We have to consolidate with a statewide election.
So either 12, 14, 16, November?
Right.
Okay, right. Well, I mean, I would think, again, maybe somebody could convince me about a 2-cent measure in November this year, but given all what I said earlier in terms of hand-holding and progress and nine counties, this gigantic effort that it takes, and we're already in April, I would think that November might be 12 might be a stretch, but I do think that seriously something needs to be done on this by 14, whatever the amount is, whether it's 2, 5, or 10. I think that the commission needs to just say, yes, we're going to go forward with this, and we're going to contour the program to a victory. I mean, that's the way I would phrase it in 14. And as far as the rhetorical question about sales tax versus gas tax, you know, even though a lot of people used to think that sales tax are so regressive, and actually in many people's minds, they're not. It's actually the richer people who end up paying more because they have more money to spend to begin with, so they're actually footing the bill, so to speak, for these sales tax measures. And again, if people don't want to buy anything, they don't want to buy anything, so they feel a sales tax is optional psychologically to a degree. But the gas tax is there all the time, which then gets me back to my perhaps real favorite line, we need to be going to a vehicle miles traveled concept. But since no one else seems to think that, again, I would say here is moving forward with something in 14, but you have to make it decided if you're going to go forward in 14, and here's what we're going to do to contour to a victory.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm always baffled when we send these polls out in relationship to gas tax and we get the answers that we do. And the reason I am is because today Chevron or whoever could increase their gas by 25 cents a gallon and nobody's going to say a word. They're just going to go to the damn pump and they're going to put their nozzle in the car and they're going to fill up and they're going to leave, and there was absolutely no benefit to them at all, other than the guys in Chevron made more money. And so when we come forward and we say, look, you know, we want to do a gas tax and we want to put so much towards local streets and roads, we want to put so much money towards this, that, or the other, the reaction is no. And so I get down to a couple of thoughts. First of all, it must be the educational benefit, that we're just not educating people on the benefits of a gas tax. And secondly, I think what we call it is horrible. Nobody wants to have gas, and nobody wants a tax. And so why we continue to call it gas tax is beyond me. And maybe we should call it transportation enhancement or something. I don't know. So I get a little frustrated, though, because gas is down today, but gas is up next week. And I guarantee you, when I go to fill my boat up on Memorial Day, it'll be 20 cents more today than it is, or it'll be 20 cents more on Memorial Day than it is today, and for no apparent reason at all. So, I get really frustrated with the whole discussion. Mark Green touched on it a little bit. Commissioner Green touched on it a little bit. And that's the thought of maybe doing a sales tax. A 9 Bay Area region sales tax. And I know that some counties in our region don't even have a half cent. And as Mark said, we're getting ready to go to a full cent, hopefully in November, which the same pollsters have done it. They have a good outlook for us, and I think last time they were less than 0.2% off or something.
Right on point.
I mean, so these pollsters are the best as far as I'm concerned. But I really think there should be some thought given to getting permission from the legislature to do a 9 Berry County 8 cent sales tax, quarter cent sales tax, wherever we fall. But I think what we have to do is we have to work together as a group and say, look, if we got this, this is how we're going to spend the money. And I think this is why Alameda County, San Francisco, Santa Clara County have all been successful. And I don't want to leave anybody out, Contra Costa or whoever. It's San Mateo. There you go. See, now the hands are coming.
Sonoma.
Everybody but Solano have been really successful. I mean, we're in Alameda County going out for our third. Our second one passed with 81% of the vote. 81% of the vote. And that, I think, gets back to what I was talking about earlier about the educational process. We went through a process with just about everybody you could conceive, every advocate. You know, if you had a cause, you were at the table.
Even social justice,
even though we couldn't define it, right, Mark? But, you know, and what we did was we worked with everybody, and we put together a measure that we said, look, if you give us the money, this is what you're going to get. And I really think this is what we're missing, because we don't really tell people what they're going to get. And I think if you told them that you're going to get better paratransit service, that you're going to get a free bus program in San Francisco if that's what they want, you're going to get better access to rural road safety or whatever, up in the northern counties, you know, rural road safety is a big issue. And I think if you said that, if you told them how you're going to spend the money, they're more likely to do it. And so I really think that we might as well, in my opinion, abandon this whole gas tax discussion, because we've had three national committees tell Congress to do it, and Congress won't do it. We've let them off the hook by saying do a barrel tax. They won't do that. And so I think that we need to abandon the whole thought of a gas tax and maybe move towards looking at a sales tax measure that is well-defined within each county and tells each county what they're going to get if they move forward with this measure. And then, hey, if the county doesn't pass it and the other counties do, by, you know, the total vote is 2/3, then you know what? That county got it too. And I really think we should go to the legislature and get permission to do something like that.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for that presentation, and it's really helpful to hear where we are. But I mean, I think one of the things that's really helpful about a poll like this, or any of the polls that we in, you know, our county agencies have done, is it kind of provides a framework for what the voters, what are their priorities are. Now, what the level of their support is, you know, ranges. You know, you can go from 2 cents to 10 cents, but I kind of wanted to focus on slide 13, and I guess to hear from you that you felt that the results of this poll gave us at least some really good framework in terms of moving forward. If we're going to engage the voters, what kinds of issues really are their priorities? I was struck too by the demographics in the telephone poll analysis that, you know, a little over half are working, but a quarter are retired. So we're starting to see shifting demographics, and people tend to vote based on what their particular uses of the system are. So did you think that we were able to get at least a sense of kind of the bookends of what we need to do in terms of local spending, you know, potholes versus and transit, some of those kinds of things?
Thank you. Yeah, I do think that we have a good overview, as you mentioned, slide 13, of some of these broad elements that voters respond to. I mean, I think the one around reforms, improving efficiency, improving service, and saving money, obviously, is a broad reform. You know, filling potholes, we always see that's popular. And the other one, that, you know, making it easier for people to get around without their cars. I mean, that's so general, but you can see these broad elements of making things different, voters respond to. What we don't know from this, because even after we gave them this information, we didn't move their support, And I think we don't, that's the little bit of a challenge that we don't see is it because they weren't responding to the elements that we talked about, or is it what's going on in their everyday lives around the economy? Or is it their hesitancy? You know, why is it that they're hesitant to a gas tax? Why do they feel differently about a gas tax versus a sales tax? I think that's a little bit of the mystery that we just don't quite get. I think your point about the large number of retired folks is a big issue, and we've been seeing that recently. That you know, we do have an aging population. One, we have those that they're not commuting every day because they're retired. And we also have, you know, we have to remember that even those who are working in different ways. They're telecommuting. They're not necessarily commuting in that old sense, or that you get one job and you commute to that job for 20 years. And that the idea of the way people move around in their lives physically, that it's not just about commuting. It's also about getting to other places. And so just saying getting, you know, being able to make it easier to get from home to work, there are a lot of voters who that's not their biggest concern in their day. It's also maybe around getting to their children or getting to their volunteer, you know, that's just something we have to think about as we're communicating.
Did you find that this page 13 was pretty consistent among the nine barrier counties, give or take a range that these priorities were pretty similar?
They are fairly similar. The top one was, sorry, Sarah's helping me.
Sorry.
The requiring coordination was in the top four in every county.
Okay.
And I think all of these were in the top four.
Okay.
The top three, I think, were in kind of those top ones in every county. Is there anyone that stood out in? Like, for instance, in San Francisco, the making it easier for people to get around without their cars was the number one item. Filling potholes was the number one item in Napa County. San Mateo requiring coordination between the local agencies. But there's not huge differences between them. And we'll provide all the county breakdown for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It always makes me very nervous when I find myself staring at Green and Hagerty and finding myself in agreement with them. Nervous, I didn't say it made me uncomfortable. I just said it made me a wee bit nervous. So I endorse their remarks. I do have a
suggestion.
What? Just because your axle's about to fall out your bloody car, Green, there's no need to be coming that way with me now. Travel Dream Nirvana Assessment is my new slogan, so that this will transport people into this new world of travel and not alarm them by the use of the word gas and tax in the same breath. So that's my helpful suggestion. And finally, I would just say that one of the things we're starting to learn is that not only in this demographic, the over 65s, are we seeing changing. Well, we are seeing changing travels, and part of the changing travel patterns are that they no longer have their licenses, and so they are no longer driving, and there's going to be a greater percentage of people like that. I'm sort of keeping away the evil day there, too, but nonetheless, I think we do have to pay a lot of significance to what's happening with that demographic, and all of us who are practicing elected officials know who votes more than anybody else, right? This older demographic. So these are my carefully chosen remarks, Mr. Chair.
Thanks.
Yeah, very, Randy, our authorization is specifically for gas tax?
Correct.
There's no leeway with that whatsoever?
No, there is none. We thought about a sales tax on gas, but in those days we had to go through certain committees that we knew we couldn't get through. And also, I think our view here is look, I mean, it's odd that we've turned a user fee into a tax in our language, but that's the common usage of a gas tax. I mean, we, you know, as Commissioner Hagerty put out there, we've found ourselves in a tough world with respect to how we talk about it.
Right.
And our view has been over many years, the sales tax is kind of a county prerogative. It started in Santa Clara County. We thought that if we're doing something regionally, a gas tax is a good mix for a whole ton of reasons. Also, we feel strongly on the policy of a user fee connecting to the outcome and fixing the roads, doing public transit. But as you see from these poll results, we are where we are on this subject, and to change it would require a significant amount of work to build the consensus around it.
So I'm sorry, I did step out of the room for a minute. Is the direction the staff is asking is to test the 2%, 2 cents, or is that just an item for discussion? I hear people saying don't bother to even do that.
Well, Commissioners, we're not here today to make a recommendation more so than anything else, but to make a connection between the work you're doing on the transit sustainability project and also some of these poll results. And you can see there are things people want. I mean, when folks vote for a tax, they're not often voting for the tax. They're voting for the things they want.
Right.
And when it comes to public transit, there are some pretty obvious things that some folks want. Now, do they want it bad enough to also fund it is a fair question. And I don't think we're here proposing to you that we go further on this subject right now. We do believe, as Commissioner Haggerty and Green said, there could be a path here where we could investigate it further. It's going to take some time. We got to figure out what people want and what they're willing to vote for and what we can get a consensus on to do. And I guess right now we're just looking for the conversation versus a recommendation.
Okay. Well, you look at this chart and it looks pretty clear what they want. I mean, they want those top two items. And the question is, if we had a two cent gas tax, how much revenue does that raise? And does it come anywhere near addressing those problems?
Look, it's a significant amount of money. It's between 50 and 55 million bucks around the whole region, which is a good bit of money. Could you do something meaningful in both of those subjects? Probably. Would getting the one thing on the top requiring more coordination and so forth be a win in and of itself? Probably.
Cool.
So, look, it is a prize probably worth pursuing, but it would take us some time to get it.
Well, you know, I recognize that, you know, time is obviously the economy. We did a poll in Berkeley, and what we found is that people's attitudes were, as you found in this poll, directly related to the economy and how they saw themselves doing. As they saw themselves doing well, they were willing to spend money when they saw that they, you know, didn't think prospects were particularly good. And who knows between now and November where that's going to be. I just think that we shouldn't just close the door. I think we should explore the possibility of doing the improving and coordinating, just make it specifically to local transportation issues around transit agencies and try 2 cents and see what it says. If we come back with a favorable view, then we ought to move forward. If we come back with, you know, it's still undecided or unclear one way or the other, then we can say, okay, we'll put it off. But to wait to 2014 is actually, you know, quite a long period of time, because once you pass it, then you got to get the money. I mean, the money doesn't just come in the next day. So, and these problems are not going away. We've got huge problems in the field. So, the extent that we could raise money, I think would be significant.
Yeah, I was on the little committee that helped oversee the process. I just want to thank Randy and everyone involved. I think there's useful information here. Part of the thing I was most curious about is whether the decades-long stigma around a gas tax was still there and whether it was powerful enough to cool people on, you know, what are otherwise their significant priorities. The pavement maintenance backlog just in the city of San Jose, which is one of our 15 cities, is about $800 million last time I checked. Otherwise, I'd say, well, maybe let's try 2 cents for potholes and reformation, which are the first two things, you know. But we were saying in the committee, if you link potholes to just about anything and keep it simple, you'll get public support. But if you can only get 2 cents and try to spread that around on that issue,
yes,
it's not going to go far enough. Commissioner Dodd was just saying that there's about a $650 million need or backlog in Napa County. You know, I'd imagine if we get into the other urban counties, I mean, those numbers must be astronomical compared to the 2 cents. And I think that's the problem, is we got a tax that's not only been stigmatized over the year, a type of tax, but it's actually destroyed political careers in some efforts. We would have to have both the political will and, you know, the right package here, you know, combined, you know, to push it. And that just doesn't seem to be the case right now. Sales tax or something else might be worth exploring, and that might get us to a different result as far as the polling goes. But thank you for the effort. It's been informative.
Yeah, if I could on that, Commissioner Cortese, Campos, Green, and Kinsey helped us try to put this together, and I wanted to thank them for their time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would caution our colleagues, and I'd just like to say that I thank Commissioner Bates for his position on our half-cent sales tax, or additional half-cents, I guess, and I mean that sincerely. But I would caution us in just looking at the top two and saying, well, that's what people want. That's what people want before the advocates get involved. And, you know, when you start talking about real money on the table, you're going to start seeing the Bicycle Coalition, Urban Habitat. I'm forgetting one. Well, Genesis, but not. I guess not everybody has Genesis. Transform. Thank you, Mark. You're being very helpful right now. But I'm going to tell you that once you get out into the public and you see that if you were well-intended and you just wanted to do a better job of coordinating transit agencies and filling potholes, you would find out that there's a lot of people out there that want a lot more. And if you don't give it to them, because here in the state of California you need two-thirds, they will threaten to go out and torpedo the measure, which they will probably try to do. So it's not just picking the top two and saying that's what's going to be successful.
Thanks for the very useful data. And I do hope that we don't just throw our hands up about the gas tax and that we don't just automatically revert to sales tax. I mean, sales tax, you know, unfortunately, in the dysfunctional system that we have in California and the way we approach taxes, everything constantly is defaulting to sales tax. And in addition to the fact that we all, of course, have a lot of local sales taxes, and there are all sorts of ideas about whether it's Caltrain or whatever else using sales tax to try to support our system, sales tax, of course, you know, can discourage good behavior in terms of spending money and supporting the economy, whereas gas tax can encourage people to drive less or to have more fuel efficient cars. And so these aren't the most encouraging results, but I really hope that we keep it on the table and don't just automatically revert back to the old standard sales tax formula, because I think we need to have much more diversity in our transportation revenue sources.
I would like to clarify my remarks. I would like this to do number one. I don't think with 2 cents you can't do much of anything. But I think number one is conceivable. With that kind of money, we could make a difference. And I think it's worth trying to see what people think about that. And if people don't think it's a good idea, then we should just, you know, forgo at this point in time.
We're working on number one right now. Am I missing something? And we didn't need the voters to pay for anything. I mean, I thought we had a transit sustainability meeting coming up.
We do, Commissioner, but the next item is an investment of some money to speed up service. And if we could find some more money, we could speed up service some more.
Oh, you got the money, Steve. Come on.
There are some things you can do, you're right, sort of by a regulation. But there are a lot of investments we need to make as well. And that's where the tax would come in handy.
Thanks for that, really, Tom. We do have one public comment.
Pat Pieris.
Thank you, Pat Pieris, member of the public. I want to support what Commissioners Green and Haggerty are usually a little bit more overt in saying, which is please do not interfere in any way with the upcoming reauthorization of the Alameda County sales tax measure, which is expected on the ballot this November.
So it's all about Alameda County again?
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Why not? But anyway, I'm just backing them up. But I want to make, in terms of laying the groundwork, I want to begin a plea for an item that several people are likely to raise under item 5 on the so-called final recommendations for the TSP. Your staff has been promising a 30-day public comment period on those which is not in the current recommendations. And we would hope that the commissioners would begin to show good faith with the public by allowing the full public comment period. And also, if you do have further polling on these issues, the focus of this polling really was on the gas tax itself and what could be done with it. It might be useful to get a sense of the extent to which the public perceives MTC as the appropriate entity to be raising and spending this money. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we're going to move on now to item number four, transit performance initiative.
Going, I'm not a voting member of this, but and I realize if it's just information, but I'm just wondering what the members of this committee are actually thinking about. I mean, there's a lot of things, you know. Is it just letting that information die? Is it going ahead with 2%? Is it looking for something more comprehensive? Is it going to sales tax? I mean, for the members who are actually on this committee, is it just letting it, you know?
I think what we're going to do.
Fly in the wind there.
My perception as the chair, and I can be certainly overruled, but what I heard from Randy and staff on this particular thing, I think they're going to look through the numbers, the polling, a little bit more. But I think at this point in time, Randy, am I right saying that probably there's no plan?
Yeah, maybe we're being a little too coy here, so let me be explicit. Based on what we've seen here and based on your discussion today, which I appreciate some of you trying to keep a brave face, we really don't see a reason to proceed this November. Now, I will say with respect to Alameda County, there is a provision in the law that authorizes us to put this on the ballot. We basically request the counties to put it on the ballot. They are obligated to do so unless they have their own measure on the ballot for transportation funding, in which case they're not obligated. They can, but they don't have to. So if Alameda County wants to be excluded from this measure whenever you put it on, or any county, they can be excluded at their own choosing. But based on these numbers, and one other thing that hasn't come up in this discussion, we are obligated under the law to pay for the election. And if we win, that's fine. We got money to pay out of the winnings. If we lose, that's coming straight out of our budget. So I think we need to have a very good shot at two-thirds before we take that leap, because we're going to be paying for a defeat.
Okay. I think we're crystal clear on that now, right? Okay. Beautiful. Shruti, you
ready
to go?
Good morning, Commissioners. Shruti Hari from the Programming and Allocation Section. And I'll be presenting for your consideration today staff recommendations for the Transit Performance Initiative Program. Now, in January, the Commission had authorized a $30 million call for projects for this program, and we are back to report our recommendations today. Now, as you're aware, the TPI encompasses the investment and the incentive portions of it, and this item today addresses the investment portion of the Transit Performance Initiative. So the initial round of the TPI investment is a $30 million pilot program, as you're aware, and it's focused on the major transit corridors of AC Transit, SFMTA, SamTrans, and VTA. Now, these major corridors actually comprise the urban trunk routes, which carry more than 50% of the ridership in the region. Just to go over briefly the TPI project selection process, we received the authorization in January, and we issued the call for projects in February. And in response, received 5 applications from 3 agencies, SFMTA, VTA, and AC Transit, totaling a $34 million request. Now, the project applications were evaluated based on the criteria shown here. And the final recommendation that staff has is to fund elements of all the 5 projects, totaling $27.7 million. The next slide gives you more detail on these recommendations. And in effect, staff is recommending funding the entire request for the AC Transit and the VTA projects, but funding ready-to-go project elements like transit signal priority and dedicated lane treatments for the Muni projects. I'd like to note here that we are setting aside $4.1 million towards post-environmental elements like bus stop consolidation and roadway modification elements for the for both the Muni projects. These are subject to environmental right now and cannot proceed in this cycle. Our recommendations total $27.7 million with a reserve of $2.3 million for a future TPI round. I'd like to specifically mention here that Samtrans is completing its COA, its comprehensive operational analysis right now, and has indicated that they intend to submit projects for a future cycle, and we may use the reserve to fund Samtrans projects at a later date. I would also like to mention here that together the project elements that we're recommending for funding under this program lead to cost savings, operating cost savings of close to $4 million annually and 5 to 25% of travel time savings for the more than 200,000 daily riders on these routes. Now, to give you more detail on the projects that we're recommending for funding, we have put together some fact sheets which include the recommended TPI funding, the estimated total project cost, the project elements that we're recommending for funding, and the benefits that we would see, the public would see as a result of the project in your packet. These are included as fact sheets. And so, for example, we are recommending $10.5 million for the AC Transit Line 51 Speed Protection and Restoration Project for the project elements shown here. I'd also like to mention here that the elements that are recommended here for funding come out of their Line 51 operations and reliability study, and this corridor has been studied for several years by AC Transit. Also, the inner East, with the TSP inner East Bay analysis has some operational recommendations for Line 51 that go along with the capital recommendations proposed here. Then we are recommending $7 million towards the SFMTA Mission Mobility Maximization Project and $4 million towards the SFMTA NJUDA Mobility Maximization Project. Also, the project elements that we are recommending for funding come from the Muni TEP, the Transit Effectiveness Project. And both these corridors are key corridors in the TEP and carry some of the highest riderships in the region. Finally, we are recommending to fund some VTA projects, which are low-cost projects leading to substantial travel time savings. And we are recommending close to $1.6 million towards transit signal prioritization on the light rail transit system, as well as transit signal prioritization on the Stevens Creek segment of it. Finally, staff recommends that the committee refer the five projects shown in Table 1 on your memo and on the slide to the Commission for approval as part of the Transit Sustainability Project final recommendations on April 25th and for final programming as part of the One Bay Area Grant Program in May 2012. That concludes my presentation, and I'll be happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? We do have one public comment. Not on this item. There is no public comment on item number 4.
So I move it?
Yeah. This is a staff recommendation here. We've got a motion. Do we have a second? We have a motion, a second. Any discussion? Any dissent? That motion passes without objection. Thank you. We'll move now to item number 5, and this is proposed TSP final recommendations. Alex, Ken?
Sure. Kenneth Olin with MTC staff. I'll walk you through the information that we've put together on this. We'll quickly do a context of the project and then go through the findings, but really focus on 3, 4, and 5 on the screen here, which are the actual recommendations. So I think you've seen this before. Some of the short-term and long-term challenges that we're up against, the $25 billion combined project deficits from the last RTP kind of set the stage for launching this project. As well as opportunities moving towards the next RTP to really focus the transit on where the housing and jobs will be. And this map that you've seen before shows kind of the corridors with the most transit and where the development is supposed to happen. What we're focusing on is a system that covers its costs, that works for the customer, and attracts new riders to the system. And there has been a considerable amount of work that's been done in the past, in the recent past, by the transit agencies, and we're really looking to continue that work. The first two bullets up there, control cost, and then try to use that savings to reinvest in the system. The next two are related to the polling data that you saw, but many commissioners commented that you need to build public confidence, and this part of what we're trying to do with this project is do that so that at some point you could reach out for requesting new revenue. And then finally, improving experience for the customer and attracting new riders, as well as interagency coordination. So on to the project findings. We did present most of these financial findings to you in the past. The first one is based on TSP analysis, that the operator's base wage, the dollars per hour, seem reasonable there. I think that some of the focus on controlling costs is more related to the second and the third point up there, the fringe benefit and the work rules. Finally, the last two, the paratransit, we spent a considerable amount of time looking at paratransit. It looks like for paratransit, the cost is under control compared to national peers. However, that's going to be a big cost going forward here as well as anywhere else. And then finally, sales tax receipts, which is about 20% of the budget for public transportation in the Bay Area, that's declining. So we really need to focus more on the fare box and other revenue sources, as well as the cost containment strategies. On to the service and institutional findings. The first one up there, number six, improving travel time. I think that Muni quotes a figure that if they can go from 9 miles or 8 miles per hour to 9 miles per hour, they can save somewhere above $70 million a year. So that's an important thing, and that's tied to the TPI that Shruti just went through. Integrating land use and transportation planning is a primary focus of the RTP. And then working towards a consistent fare structure would also boost ridership and improve the customer experience. On the institutional side, integrating transportation or public transportation decisions with CMA functions, sales tax authority functions, seems to get you out of a bubble where you're looking at it only through one perspective. And finally, the findings indicate that administrative costs in the Bay Area are higher than national peers. So on to some of the recommendations. I think this first one is probably the primary recommendation of the project. You've seen this slide before, and I think what the recommendations are focused on doing is turning this upside down. You have costs, you're putting in an investment with the operating costs, you're getting in return revenue vehicle hours, and finally passenger trips. And as you can see, it's sliding downwards. In an ideal situation, it would be the exact opposite of this slide. So when we came to you in February, we had one metric, which was the cost per service hours, and you directed us to come back with a couple more. So the current proposal on the table is that staff is recommending is reduce real operating costs per service hour, cost per passenger, or cost per passenger mile by 5% over a five-year period. We would like to note that we would take into consideration any gains made since 2008 because a lot of the agencies have been working hard in that direction since then. Through the analysis of the project, I think that we have demonstrated that this is possible, and particular areas of focus were fringe benefits, work rules and business model, as well as the administrative cost. And again, the cost per passenger and passenger mile really allow you to focus on the cost side as well as on increasing your passengers to pay for some of the service provided. The roadmap for how we would structure this policy or this metric, again, we've tried to design this so that everybody is able to make this metric, and the idea here is not to take away money but to meet the metric. So there would be a strategic plan that's established in the beginning, and then there would be a lot of back and forth with the agencies in the initial years of monitoring leading up to analysis in 2018. I think the bottom point on this slide is probably a key point for you to focus in on. Is staff is recommending that we use this policy on existing and new operating and capital funds administered by MTC that would be subject to this target. And to put that in perspective, I think on the operating side, that's about $300 million a year, as well as $300 million on the capital side as well. So it's a significant amount of money. Is this possible or not? The next two slides kind of show a snapshot between 2008 and 2011. As you can see here on the cost per revenue hour, AC Transit would be meeting the target at this point, and BART would be close to doing that. And the other agencies have some ways to come as far as cost per revenue hour. The second metric is cost per passenger. And that shows that BART and Caltrain are able to hit that metric between 2008 and 2011. So three of the seven agencies have demonstrated that it is possible. Others are working on various ways by themselves, as well as we would hope that this metric would help them get to where we all want to get. And I think you have a letter before you, a purple letter that has the agency letterheads on the front. This slide just gives you an outline. As we've said, I think we are in agreement on the measures. The targets, were, it seems like based on their letter that was sent a couple days ago, we're getting close. I think the primary area of dispute is, would this be existing funds, as staff is recommending, or would it be only subject to new funds, as the letter from the general managers is stating? So on quickly to the transit performance initiative. Shruti just went through the investment piece, so I'll mention briefly the incentive piece, which would reward agencies that make improvements in ridership and service productivity. That was from the investment side. On the incentive side, staff is recommending linking somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million to this effort, where agencies, we would track agencies' ridership on a year-over-year basis, and that would be part of the incentive program that they are actually paid out. That $20 million would be paid out on some formula based on ridership as well as productivity. And we would be coming back, first working with the agencies and then coming back to you to discuss and adopt a specific formula distribution. And the final pieces of the recommendations are in the service, institutional, and paratransit. In the service side, there is recommendations, four recommendations up there. The first one has to do with scheduling software and scheduling calendars. We're recommending that everyone use compatible software. It doesn't necessarily have to be the same software, but it needs to be able to feed into the 511 system, other Google Transit, for example, as well as allow for the agencies to communicate among each other. The establish a regional schedule change calendar, that would really be beneficial for the passenger, because the schedules would change at the same time. So if you have a connection between two systems, you wouldn't there wouldn't be a delay of a couple weeks between schedules or longer. The short-range transit plans, I'll discuss a little bit on the next slide, but that we're recommending that those are expanded from not just agency-specific, but in where it makes sense, to county-wide efforts as well as corridor efforts. As part of the One Bay Area Grant Program, we are recommending that transit agencies are supported by the local jurisdictions, and that they must consider transit as well as kind of complete streets when they are developing their projects. And finally, consider fair policies focus on the customer. We're rolling out the phase three of the Clipper implementations to a lot of the smaller agencies, and we're hoping from this recommendation that there's just more coordination and standardization of the fare that could help the customer as well. There's some specific recommendations related to Marin, Sonoma, and Solano County. In Marin County, In Sonoma County, underway is an effort funded by short-range transit plan funds from MTC that's doing some surveying work up there. So I think that it's underway already. We want to make sure that as SMART comes online, that that's really integrated into the entire system in the North Bay and connecting operators. In Solano County, obviously, they are in the middle of the merger of a couple agencies up there, and we want to just continue to support the work that's being done up there in kind of further coordination and consolidation efforts in that county. And finally, the institutional recommendations are the top two are focused on where consolidation is occurring right now to support those efforts, and then make sure that we apply the lessons learned to other operators in those regions as well, if it makes sense in other areas of the region. The next one, integrating multiple transportation functions, I mentioned that earlier. A couple examples of that in the region are VTA, where they handle all of the transportation policy in that county, as well as in the recent Alameda County merger of ACTC. So that seems like that decisions made by one body can incorporate different things, all modes in all areas of the region. Let's see, the final... or the second to last, expand regional capital project planning design to share existing expertise. There are a lot of BRT projects coming online throughout the region right now, so maybe it's a great time to try to use that expertise in one agency to help other agencies and formalize that process. And finally, up there is the procurement of services and vehicles. That's being done on an informal basis right now, but we were, through the region's transit capital priorities process, want to really strengthen that and make sure we're getting the best deals as well as using the staffs of the agencies appropriately. Paratransit, we have recommendations grouped into three areas. The top one are really specific to agencies. The second grouping could happen at a regional, sub-regional level, and the third ones are really tied more to the general TSP as well as to Plan Bay Area. Just to note that a lot of agencies are taking on some of these on their own, and some of them are more specific to certain agencies than others, so it's not a one-size-fits-all with the paratransit recommendations. And on to the next steps. What we're recommending today is that you refer this to the commission for approval in April. This TSP is very much linked to the One Bay Area Grant Program, and that adoption is in May. The implementation and monitoring and kind of work after the adoption of the TSP is probably the bulk of the work. So this is in a lot of ways a starting point, a jumping off, and not necessarily an ending. And there's a couple specific things at the bottom there related to the Inner East Bay COA analysis that AC Transit, I believe, is taking to their board. Just a presentation on the ideas tonight, and BART and AC have been working together with us on this over the last couple months, and will be doing so moving forward. Then finally, as I mentioned, this TPI incentive program, we'll need to at some point develop the distribution formula, so that would begin talking with agencies this summer. So with that, I'd give it back to you.
Thanks, Ken. Yeah. Any questions? Commissioner Hagerty?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to say, although I'm not a member of this committee, but then I realized I am a member of this committee, so I guess now I can try to do something here today. I just wanted to talk about a few things. First of all, I'm hearing from one of my local agencies that they're concerned about the incentive-disincentive program. More specifically, I think they understand the program and they basically buy into it, but they would prefer to see the incentive or disincentive on the new money, not the old money. And then I guess
that's not just a small bus operator issue. It's now become a large operator issue also. So I don't, Steve, it looks like you want to respond to that one.
I would. And, look, it shouldn't be a small bus operator issue at all because they're not affected by the policy.
I know, but I think they feel
so
that it's going to come down the road.
Stuff that affects you.
I think he feels that he's...
Yeah, maybe it's, you know, sympathy for the large guys, but I'd rather solve real problems.
I think the large guys feel it's a real problem, too.
The large operators do, and I just must say I disagree with them quite strongly. If you constrain yourself to new money, you're basically knocking the teeth out of any enforcement approach. You saw on the first item today on this committee's calendar how difficult it is to find new money. New money does not come along very often. The coordination authority that you have under state law applies to your existing funding. And the only instance where you've ever redirected funds from one operator to another involved existing funding. And I think that's entirely appropriate. I think the figure in our staff report is that 85% on average of all seven of the big agencies' budgets, so across those seven agencies, 85% of their operating budget doesn't even come through MTC. So it's not as if their entire operation is hanging in the balance about something you do here. Finally, what I would say is I just don't think it makes any sense for you at this point to tie a hand behind your back on your enforcement authority. Let us develop a specific proposal. As Kenneth mentioned, we're going to develop a specific idea on this incentive approach. And I'm sure we'll have supporters and detractors, and we can hash it out then. I would suggest we take the same approach with the potential of withholding funds. I think it's extremely unlikely that we would come back to you and say, we want to take the 15% of their operating budget and put it all in the balance. I doubt we would do that, at least to start. We would probably start with something that's much more measured and modest. But if at the outset you were to say, we want none of the funding that we handle today to be affected by their performance result, then basically we can just, you know, roll up the counter here and wait for the new money to show up before you decide whether this policy matters or not, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I hear your opinion. I don't know that I necessarily agree with it, but I know there's others that are going to talk about it, so I'm going to just hold off on it until I kind of hear the whole debate. The other thing that I think you touched on is, you know, the fact that there is not a formula yet. I think maybe that's what's creating the angst, and maybe because some feel, you know, they're not getting any movement on this issue, that they don't believe they're going to be listened to when the formula issue comes up. And so there's a lot of concern there, and I can tell you don't agree with this one either.
No. All right, can we get the public comment going here?
Wait a minute, I still have questions.
All right.
I mean, that's a question.
All right, go ahead.
Commissioner, we could perhaps try to develop some of these formulas now. You know, in the normal course of affairs around here, you set broad policies, and then we come back to you with specific details later, and then you act on them again. So effectively, you have two bites at the apple, and it seems to me that's a reasonable way to approach the policy here. I also have to say that, as I said earlier, in the history of your exercising the authority you do have on coordination policy, you've exercised it once in my memory in 20 years. In Regional Measure 2, you've had several debates about it, if you'll recall, where an operator did not comply with your performance standard, and what you've tended to do is you've tended to give them extensions and consider extenuating circumstances. So what I'm trying to say in sum is I don't think you've given any operator any reason to be extraordinarily nervous about how we or you approach these questions. I think you've been reasonable. I think you've been measured. But I think we do need, given the first slide that Kenneth showed, given the performance that we're getting out of our investment, I think we need a different approach. I don't think just doing what we've been doing is the recipe for success here.
Okay, and then one other thing I'd like to say is I'm getting calls and I'm getting emails into my office about the kind of the next steps and the timeline that's being put before us. What I'm hearing is they believe that we're moving a little fast and they would like this to sit out there for 30 days to maybe make sure that there's some good public input on this and I guess also transit input before we start adopting. So that's I don't know if you want to respond.
And I don't think we have any objection to that. I think we were initially trying to get this off of your agenda before May because May is the big Plan Bay Area month. But now that we're going to have a joint meeting with ABAG to deal with Plan Bay Area, I think your acting on this in May is entirely appropriate as well. Well,
based on what just happened, if I'm now batting 333, so that's not a bad thing for the major league. So you can go to public comment now, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you for that, Scott. Bill Churchill.
Thank you, and good morning. My name is Bill Churchill, and I'm the Director of Transportation for the County Connection. And I just wanted to make a couple of comments. So, number one, I wanted to thank MTC for including us in this program. I think we found it to be enormously helpful. We appreciated the feedback and how responsive MTC was during the course of this whole program. I did want to... I'm having to modify my comments as we go because Commissioner Haggerty is making progress even on my behalf, so I appreciate that. One thing I did want to say, though, and I think it's important to be aware of why a small operator may be concerned about an incentive program that in theory has nothing to do with us. And it's not that we would be opposed to an incentive program at all. Rather, our concern is where are the funds coming from for that incentive program? And will any funds that we've been receiving historically by formula going to be used in that incentive program, therefore potentially harming us? And I think that the reticence that we have and the concerns that we have is really just surrounding that one issue. We would urge and propose that the small operators be held harmless from the existing formula funds that we've been receiving, and that some of our formula funds would not go to an incentive program for the large operators. We struggle as it is to really survive, as it were. So that's really the only reason we would have any kind of concern regarding that incentive program, and I just wanted to make sure that that was clarified. One of the other things I just wanted to thank staff on, they've been very responsive again in some of the other issues. Scheduling software was one of the big concerns we had. Scheduling software for operators is not a black box that you can just separate. It's actually integrally entwined into any of an operations. Is that for me?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Corey Levine, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Briefly, I just want to echo the appreciation found in the general manager's letter to MTC staff, specifically the MTC executive level staff, as well as Alex, Kenneth, and most importantly, since she's not here and really proved adept at herding cats, that's Carolyn Clevenger. So the work that has been going on for the last 2 years has been very informative and helpful. The other thing that I'd like to thank you for, and I will admit a little bit of self-interested appreciation as the planning director for AC Transit, is your leap of faith on the Transit Performance Initiative. I think the good stuff's going to come out of that, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Daryl Halls.
Thank you, Commissioner. Daryl Halls, Executive Director of STA. I was the token CMA director on the group. I just want to note a couple of things. One, I did want to acknowledge staff's effort because it's a very complex issue. And so Steve, Ann, Alex, everybody that worked on it spent a lot of time, a lot of iteration, a lot of debate, probably, 10 meetings at least that I sat through, a lot of discussion. We obviously are a county that are already going through this. We're trying to catch up to Napa, which consolidated many years ago. Half our county consolidated. When SoulTrans was formed, that's half our ridership. It's a big step for us. MTC has been very helpful in helping direct resources to making those things happen. But the good news, they're 9 months into their merger. And in their first opportunity, they've already saved $1 million, which in a system that's under $10 million, it's over 10%. So that was just by merging contracts and merging some facilities. Through negotiation, we think they can generate a similar savings next year. So we think those opportunities are there. There was a lot of discussion about the 5%. I think originally it was higher. If I recall, it was 10. And so there was a lot of compromise going back and forth. There was very good dialogue by the operators, so I understand their concerns. But I think at the same time, the commission has to take a really serious look at this issue. What are we going to do, given the trend we have in terms of the cost of the service and the funds available? It's a challenging issue. So I encourage the commission to really deliberate on this before you make a decision.
Thank you, Daryl. Manolo Gonzalez Este. I got that right.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Manolo Gonzalez-Estai, Transportation Policy Director. Thank you very much for your time. I wanted to also echo what others have said and thank MCC staff for running this two-year process. Although it's incremental, it's critical. We are here today to support one of the most contentious issues is support the staff recommendations of the 5%, understanding that there are some concerns, and when you're trying to deal with cost effectiveness, some issues may be raised, but we want to make sure that we're here, understanding that 3 out of the 7 operators are already meeting these goals. We are hopeful that the others will also do that. We understand that are conscious of what the agencies are trying to meet and see that their use of best efforts is a goal there, but want to be here today to support staff efforts, but also be cautious to make sure when we're trying to do cost efficiencies that sometimes some of the riders that are the ones that we want to serve may be impacted by that. So we just want to be conscious of that and keep an eye on that. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Tony Withington, please.
Tony Withington, Amalgamated Transit Union. I want to thank you for having me sit on the advisory committee. That was a real experience, and the people that are in the room that were there are going to say this guy sounds like a broken record. But I need to say, you know, since 2008, labor has been going to the table, and there have been concessionary bargaining, just because of the economics of the whole process. And then to expect that to carry on further. And, you know, and as I said in committee meetings, if there's wasteful work rules, what you may consider wasteful work rules are working conditions for the people we represent. So, I mean, there's give and take in the collective bargaining process. But when I see in your handout some of these recommendations that are even required by law, and then they show up after we've brought it to the attention of the consultant, I find that a little disturbing. And I want to tell you a joke. The mayor of Chicago, I'll tell you a story, excuse me, not a joke, but the mayor of Chicago goes and he goes to the press and says, our bus drivers start out the day with a 10-minute coffee break. You know what that is? It's called report time. Required by law that the operators check out their bus. So, you know, you put something like this in a report as a recommendation. Sure enough, I'll be going into one of the local transit properties and I'll have some manager put something up about wanting to shrink the report time. But there's a number of things in other areas. But I just want to remind you, I would prefer to see not specific recommendations put into this proposal. And I'll wrap it up. But I just want to tell you, it's a rubber band, and it's stretching and stretching. Eventually, it's going to break. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Ed Reitzkin, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. I'm Ed Riskin, Director of Transportation in San Francisco, and I want to thank this committee for its leadership on this issue, and particularly the MTC staff for a lot of thoughtful, deliberative work to get us to where we are. And at taking the risk of trying to speak for the large transit agencies, I think I can comfortably say that we support the lion's share of the recommendations. I think it's been a great progress that's going to help move transit forward in the Bay Area. We do, as it's been noted, have concern with putting existing funds at risk. While we've conceded to the 5% goal, which frankly I don't think is achievable while achieving the other goals of the TSP, which are an improved service and an increased ridership. It's possible if you put those goals aside, but I don't think any of us want to do that. I think putting those goals out in front of us is a good thing. Putting existing money that we need and rely on and have already budgeted on to invest in our systems, to keep it reliable, to keep bringing riders to it, I think would really work in the opposite direction of improving service and increasing ridership. So I hear Steve's point on that. I don't think we need the hammer of MTC over our head to continue to seek to control costs. All of the transit agencies are making significant steps in that direction, and we'll do so regardless. But to put funding at risk that we would need to operate our systems and keep them reliable, I don't think is a good direction. There's a few other minor points that we included in the letter we sent. I think the words on the screen, I think is back on slide 23, reflect closer to what we are requesting. It's different than the language in attachments A and, or attachment B. So to the extent that you would consider incorporating some of those maybe semantic changes, we would certainly appreciate it. But thank you for your time and your efforts on this.
Pat, I assume that you took your time earlier. What's that?
Oh, no.
Oh, go ahead, then. Kind of did. Go ahead.
I just wanted to warn you this was coming, and I want to thank Commissioner Haggerty for his assistance. But first of all, I hope your staff is aware of an APTA standard draft that has been recently published, which is titled Quantifying and Reporting Transit Sustainability Metrics, and includes such things as reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So I would urge that this be looked at and incorporated into a truly meaningful program for the region. DOT just issued some ridership data that says that that nationwide transit is increasing ridership more than since 2005. How will that new baseline be integrated into the metrics that are being proposed? We would hope that the requirements for the reductions in cost do not in any way penalize attempts to provide lifeline transit service, which is critical throughout the region. And finally, the recommendations regarding paratransit are frankly pretty startlingly unimaginative and timid. Virtually every transit system I know of in this region and around the country is already doing most, if not all, of what's being proposed. There are other suggestions that were brought forward that can help deal with the coming baby boom ridership, and we hope that you can provide some more meaningful and innovative approaches to paratransit. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, back to the commission. Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you to the finely dressed man that spoke earlier in relationship to what the concern of the small operators. Steve, let me try this again. I think what they're concerned about is the pot of money that could be provided as incentive money is something that the large operators and the small operators draw from. So I think the feeling is if the large operators, the big three, draw from that pot, there's nothing left for them. And I think that is the concern. So can you maybe help me with that one?
Yes, I can, Commissioner. I appreciate that correction, because when I was responding to your question, it was about the enforcement provision, the performance standard, which only does apply to the large systems. But the incentive pool is from something called the flexible set-aside that's in our transit capital program. And historically, both small and large operators have drawn from it. What I would suggest to you, and I'll see if you think it's agreeable, is we're proposing here to come back toward the end of the year with some options on that. And I would commit to you that we would develop one option at least that would hold the small operators harmless. But I think it's worth your seeing some other options that don't, because the whole idea with that incentive approach is to try to reward those who increase ridership. And fair enough, the big operators have more riders than the small ones, but there are probably ways to develop that proposal that when you talk about a percentage of your ridership, as an example, the small operators might be able to score some money as well. So if that would be agreeable, that we have at least one approach that holds them harmless, but that you're willing to look at some other approaches that maybe don't, but maybe give them some upside potential, we can handle it that way.
Certainly, if that's part of the motion, I would be supportive of that, and I think at this point I'm now batting 666.
Commissioner Green? I got to go. Sorry.
You know, again, referring back to what we had talked about at an earlier meeting where 77% of the people either responding to that one poll called it very high priority or somewhat high priority on requiring coordination among local transit agencies to improve service and save money, that being the highest combined percentage bracketing at 77%, I think that it's imperative that this commission do everything it can to promote those concepts, improving service and saving money. Because, again, if you're going to be going out and doing anything in the future about getting a regional measure, you're going to be needing to show something here. Frankly, I think this was not bold enough. This is not bold enough overall. I mean, some of the, you know, I know it water it neutered down to 5% instead of a higher number. You know, 5% over 5 years isn't exactly earth-shattering in terms of a saving, to be candid. I mean, I know that's maybe what all you can squeeze out of agreement out of transit operators, but I think that that's a very low hill to climb over, very low, to be honest with you. I think that you have to look at the existing money or else it's just, you're just doing nothing also, so you have to look at existing money. And I do think that, as Pat mentioned about the paratransit operations coming up, where we're looking at something like a 131% increase in people in the Bay Area over 65 over the next 25 or 30 years, that's going to be an enormous demand on paratransit. We're going to be needing to do everything we possibly can to keep that somewhat under control in terms of the amount of money going in that direction. So anything that needs to be looked at there should be examined. And in terms of, I'll use the word again, mergers, consolidations, I saw that working on the fringes up there in the northern counties, you know, some recommendations there. Again, it needs to just be hit harder here. You know, some of these big seven, maybe they all need to be 1-7, you know, just one agency. It's time, again, if you're looking at really, somebody mentioned about saving $1 million with some agencies going together. As I think some of us sat here in the same room a few weeks ago hearing about what could be made saved with major consolidation of agencies, period. It's not transit agencies, but other agencies of all types around the Bay Area. It's an enormous amount of money that could be saved. And we need to be doing more of that here. Again, you show that you're saving money, you're showing that you're doing the right things, then you go out and you request the public to get you more money because you've shown here that you can do it.
If you keep going, I'm not going to be able to say I totally agree with you. All right. Commissioner Glover?
I'm okay after hearing the comments coming from the executive director. I'm real concerned about the small operators and them being held harmless. So I would look forward to one of the options coming back that would hold them harmless. So we'll wait for it to come back.
Commissioner Weiner?
Yeah, just very briefly. I think this has been a really good process. I'm very grateful for what staff has done. And I think in the realities of running a transit agency, there are so many pressures to do the wrong thing in terms of operational costs, and it'll be good to finally have at least something of a countervailing pressure to do the right thing in terms of reducing costs. And we can't, you know, good faith and best efforts is terrific, but we know that that doesn't usually work. And I also want to, Director Riskin isn't here, but I've spoken to him many times about this, so I understand his concerns. I don't view this so much as a hammer over the agency's heads. I view it as a hammer that the agencies can use when they are negotiating, whether it's with labor, whether it's with advocacy organizations that are asking them to spend money that they don't have. That is a hammer that they can use to say, we're going to have consequences as a system if we don't look at our overall costs, and it forces all of the stakeholders to focus on operational costs.
Commissioner McKenzie, you're on the clock.
Yes, we have bus services and people like that as well in Sonoma County. We have service recommendations for Marin and Sonoma, which seem sensible to me, and so I'm in favor of adopting these recommendations.
Commissioner Wirth?
Yeah. First of all, I want to thank staff's response to some of the issues that have been raised. I've also heard from our operators, and I, first of all, want to say thank you to everybody that's engaged. I mean, I think from our county, we've been able to participate because we set up a coordinating council of our local transit operators that have really helped be involved in this process all along. But I totally agree that every agency in the Bay Area needs an incentive to cut costs, because the last thing in the world we want to do is to cut service. And I have been very, you know, concerned in the past that the way agencies approach, you know, reductions is just cut the service. And I think more than ever, service is really important, whether it's a small agency or a large one. I guess with that in mind, in terms of the cost, I'd be mindful of the point that was raised in the letter regarding computer systems. I think the goal is to integrate the service, to communicate. And I'd rather than saying this is how you're going to solve the problem, is to maybe increase the incentives or for companion agencies to be linked, so that a writer going from County Connection to BART understands that they're getting the highest level of coordination. So I become concerned when we start talking about going into computer systems, because that is a big, you know, black hole in terms of money. So that would be, I think, the other piece of those points that have already been raised, is that let's focus on coordination, but do it in a way that we can afford it and ultimately happen.
Okay. Commissioner Haggerty, would you like the last word?
Actually, yes. I'd like to move the item with the caveat that staff will come back to us. Is that what you're looking for? But,
okay.
Some sort of options in relation to the small operators. And also, we're going to hold it out there for 30 days more for public comments. So, yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
Second. Good job. Any dissent? Motion passes without objection. I'm sorry to be so hurried here, but we're going to lose a quorum. We wanted to get this thing through. No public speaker card, so we're going to adjourn to the next meeting.